Thank you very much. I
want to just give you a few words out of the book of Matthew. If you want to just take your Bibles and turn to the 14th chapter of Matthew. I have a King James Bible, and it is Scofield. I'm trying to think of that. And it has a heading just before the verses we're going to read. Jesus walks on the water. Peter's little faith. And we're going to read starting in verse 22, if you read along silently. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship, now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went in unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Let's pray. Father, we're taking a passage of Scripture that talks about Peter. And though he walked on the water and did many things, he still was a man of little faith. So, Lord God, help us to see ourselves, and that maybe some of the things that we bring out will help us to grow in faith and be stronger in faith towards you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all the many things you do for us. We thank you for this church and the pastor and their faithfulness to you over the years. Lord, we just pray that you bless them. Bless this fellowship we're having now over your word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. When I preached this in the past, my wife has always said something about, how can you say he's a man of little faith? I'm not. He is called a man of little faith by Jesus. Now, when we look at that and think about it, here he was walking on water. And except for Jesus, the only other person in the whole world that has ever done that has been Peter. And we must understand and realize, if he's a man of little faith, what are we? We have to be way down the ladder, to speak, in our faith, if Peter was called a man of little faith. I want to share with you just a few quick reasons why he is a man of little faith. And the first is that people of little faith are found in the most unlikely place. Who would have thought that after the event that had just happened, just after he had walked on the water, I don't know how far he went, 5 feet, 20 feet, 20 yards, I don't know. But whatever he did more than we did. Amen? He did more than we can do. He did more than any of us ever thought about trying to do. He got out of that boat and started walking on the water. And to me, that sounds so much like great faith, but it wasn't. He was a man of little faith. And so the first thing we should note about this is that little faith can be found in the most strange places or the most unlikely places. In this room, we have many preachers. Maybe some of you that look at the preachers think, well, they must be people of great faith. But I can tell you from my own experience, we're not necessarily men of great faith. We act in great faith from time to time, but we still have things that cause us to be men of little faith. And so the first point is that little faith is found in the most unlikely place. Amen? The second thing I want us to see is that little faith seeks a sign. Now, when Jesus said, "It is I, be not afraid," John thought, "Oh, it's the Lord." And he was excited about it. And Matthew felt the same way. And all the disciples thought, what an amazing thing. We're seeing Jesus walk on the water. He can do just anything he decides to do. But Peter wanted some proof. He said, "If it be thou, bid me to walk on the water. If it's you, if you are really Jesus, the Son of God, then allow me to walk on the water." And of course, Jesus did that. He said, "Come." And he came. And so the second thing that we see is that it requires a sign. How many times have we prayed for things, and though we have been taught not to voice wanting a sign, inside our inner being, we were searching for a sign. We were searching for something to prove that this is what God wanted. We were acting in little faith. We were acting immature in our faith. When God tells us to do something, we don't have to ask anybody else about it. We don't have to get permission from anybody for it. We just need to do what He has told us to do. Amen? We must realize and understand that little faith seeks signs, but great faith reaches out in faith that God will do it. Amen? The third thing I want us to notice is the surroundings. He was affected by the surroundings. When Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water, he was doing great. Then all of a sudden he noticed how rough the wind was, how strong the wind was. And he saw the waves and how they were coming up over the boat and they were tossing all around. And he started having unbelief. He was affected by his surroundings. How many times in our lifetime are we getting ready to do something and something happens that is negative and we start questioning whether or not we should do it? How many times do we look at something in our life and we know what God wants us to do, but the wind's blowing too hard? The waves are too high. The trouble is too great. And we start backing down to doing that. That's a sign of little faith. That's a sign that we are, like Peter, a man of little faith. And so we need to look at Christ and keep our eyes on Christ and never take our eyes off of Christ, because through Christ and by His grace and His power, we can do anything that He tells us to do. He told us that if we had the faith of a seed of a mustard seed, we could move a mountain. I don't know, but I've never moved a mountain, have you? I have never done that, but I believe that I can do that if I have the faith to do that. And this is what God is wanting from us. The fourth thing I want you to notice about Peter was that he got a wetting. He walked in the water he turned his eyes off of Jesus and he went into the water. And then he cries out, "Save me. Keep me from drowning." And he got wet. Now picture him, now that he is back in the boat with Jesus. They're going across to the other side of the sea, and all the disciples are tickled to death for what they have seen Jesus do. And they're excited, and they're talking to him, and they're shaking his hand and patting him on the back and thanking him for the vision that he gave them of his power and his greatness. But Peter is sitting in that boat, soaking wet, freezing to death. Can you imagine how miserable he must have been? While everybody was dry and happy and rejoicing, he was wet and feeling miserable inside. We all know probably at some time in your life you've gotten wet while you still had your clothes on, and you started itching and feeling miserable and cold. And this is what was going on with Peter. He was miserable. He was miserable because he was a man of little faith. The same thing is true with us. Many times in our life, we get in predicaments where it was a cause of our lack of faith. And we suffer for it. And Peter suffered for it. He went through great pain and suffering. Question comes after seeing all these negative things is, why don't we be people of great faith? Why don't we be people of great faith? When I, years ago, went and started a church in Buffalo, New York, my first duty as a new missionary or pastor was to get a checking account. So I went to the bank and asked for someone, and first thing he asked me, he says, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher." He says, "Really?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Wow." He says, "You're the first white Baptist I've ever met." That made me feel great. The first white Baptist. It was the second largest, when we were there, it was the second largest diocese in the United States. Everybody was Catholic. My church was filled with Catholics that became Baptists because they got saved. We never got tired or never got out of leads of who to talk to because nearly everybody was Catholic. The Polish were Catholic. The Irish were Catholic. And the rest were Catholic. And we were alone by ourselves. But we went there and started a church, and God blessed us, and it grew. But we learned quickly how just little our faith was. Many crises, many troubles, many problems. The gentleman up here in the front that is there in Canada, I feel sorry for him in a lot of ways because I know how lonely it can be when you're there and nobody is of the same faith or trust or love that you are, and that you're constantly striving to see people saved. What a wonderful chance, though, it is, an opportunity it is. When we were there, and we had an old Chevy, I don't even remember what year it was. I think it was a 93 model. No, it wasn't. No, it was 80 something. And we had been in St. Louis and in Springfield, Missouri, in college, and we're not used to driving on the snow. But I grew up in Detroit, and I knew how to drive in the snow. And we were going to church on a Sunday night. Snow was coming down all around. And my wife said, we need to pull over and wait to see if the salt trucks will come out. I said, don't worry about it, Phyllis. I'm okay. I know how to drive in the snow. About a second or two after that, guy stopped on the street. And I hit the brakes, and I turned it this way real quick. Slid right in just over his bumper about that much. No big deal till you looked at the door. The door was all caved in and all messed up. And Phyllis said, and you know how to drive in the snow. We went on for a long time after that with that big dent there. The insurance that I had, we used it for food and for our child to take care of him, and the dent just stayed there. And one day as I was out visiting, I stopped at a stop sign, looked this way, and instead of looking back the other way, I went out and a guy hit the side of my car. He hit the left door, the back door. So on the right side I had a big dent on the front door, and on the left side I had a big dent on the side of the left side of the door. But it got me to where I was wanting to go. As the days went by and weeks and months, I was going to start out of a stop sign, and I stepped on the gas and the car just sat there. I held it down and it finally grabbed a hold and jerked forward. I was losing my transmission. But every day we go on out there, and many times it just about jerked you out of the seat as it kicked in gear and started to take off. And that went on and went on. One of the men in our church went with me. We were out visiting and soul winning, and he felt the jerks as I was doing that. He says, you need a new car. I said, yeah, I don't think I can do that now. A few days later, it was voted on in the church to get me a car. And it was a 94 model, or 93 model in 94. Had 5,000 miles on it. It was looked brand new. Great paint job. No dent on the front or the back doors. Had not leather, but a very soft, I don't remember what it's called now, seating to it. Power windows, power locks, tilt, cruise, air conditioning that worked, transmission that worked. And they bought it for me. And I had I considered a new car, brand new car, 5,000 miles old. And when I would get ready to go someplace, I'd step on the gas and the car would just take off smoothly, graciously. When I went to flip the air conditioning on, it came on. And everything about the car was first class. Now, I could still go to fellowship meetings in Rochester or Albany or wherever they might be, and I could get in that old car of mine, and once it got taking off, it drove fine. But now I had a brand new car to me, and I got in it and went back down the roads. I went to Albany, or I went to Rochester or Saginaw or wherever it was in that car, and it was first class. Now, folks, let me ask you a question. Which do you think I wanted to drive the most, that old Chevy or that new Chevy? Which one do you think I enjoyed the most? No question, is it? I preferred to drive
first class in that new car. Same thing is true today spiritually in our lives. We're going to get to heaven by the grace of God and by the salvation of Christ. We're going to go to heaven. There's no question about it. No matter what happens in our life, whatever happens, we're going to go to heaven. He had not only saved us from our past sins, but He saved us from our sinful nature. And today, we, like Paul, can say our desire is to do this, but we end up doing that. We fail, and we make mistakes. But if we can be men and women of total faith in Christ and trust Him for all that He is and that all He can do, we can be men, women, great faith. I urge you to be a man and woman of faith, great faith.